I think there are definitely some valid points. I would say that there are a lot of Bernie supporters that once they see that Hillary is going to be the nominee, they're going to want to maybe give Trump a look based on his slamming of these politicians that come to politician to businessmen and lobbyists for donations. And trade policy and certain other things that Trump has staked out positions on, but what I ultimately will think, what I see ultimately happening is that I don't think the crossover for Bernie to Trump is going to be too big,
I agree. I agree.
because Trump is the symbol of a lot of things that they're trying to fight.
Yeah,
The
Wall Street, New
whole business.
York, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that I won't deny that there might be some Bernie Sanders supporters that will give Trump a look, but whether he is going to make them come out, in big numbers towards him, that remains to be seen. I think that towards the end, the Democratic Party is probably going to do a better job of coming together around Hillary because I think that Donald Trump is probably the best thing that has ever happened to Democratic turnout in a long time.
Really? You think he's going to engender more on the other side than actually on his side? I mean, he's gotten more Republican votes, more, I mean, independent votes, if you add it all up, in the Republican primary than any other candidate in history. He's got 9 million supporters. You think it's going to go the opposite way, huh?
Well, in the general, definitely. I think that translating lessons from the primary onto the general is gets a little dicey sometimes because we're talking about a bigger share of the electorate, bigger turnout numbers in the general. And I am Puerto Rican, and I, with my MRC Latino hat on. What I'm seeing in the media is that a lot of these leading Hispanic media outlets are doing these very softball interviews with Democratic candidates. They are kind of positioning things with the way that they cover the election to kind of to turn out Hispanics for Hillary.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's been their goal for quite a while, I think. I mean,
Oh,
with some of
yeah.
those voices. I mean, so you're not, so you think all those unfavorabilities with Trump and Hispanics and women and the African American community, there's no way he can make inroads on that?
I think, well, I'm not going to doubt Trump. During this primary,
Sure.
I've said a lot of things that, I've had to eat my words on.
Right. Me too.
But,
Me too.
I'm definitely, I think that Trump is going to make an effort. But his unfavorable rating is just something that I don't think he's going to be able to overcome enough to win the general.
And I mean, I know, women, I know Hispanics who, I mean, they've seen the sound bites that he's already given in the primary, and they'll never vote for him. And I think if he wants to make those inroads, I think he's going to give it a good shot. Just like how your boy Rand Paul was doing a great job of trying to reach the African American community over the past couple of years. I do
Oh,
think
yeah.
for some reason, Trump feels like the best Republican candidates go around who can try to do that. I mean, can you imagine Ted Cruz really trying to speak to these different groups, trying to court them over? I don't think he has it. And I think Trump, who's been in business, I mean, he knows these people, and I think he can. There is some potential, but I think you're right. The statistics and some of the numbers are really tough to add up for him in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, that he really needs in the general.
Oh yeah, for sure. What I'm seeing is that Hispanics, women, African Americans, and a lot of people are going to turn out to vote more to vote against Trump than to vote for Hillary. I think that sometimes that gets missed because you'd like to think that in the United States, everyone shows up to vote because they want to vote for something instead of against. But coming from someone who has worked in a lot of Republican presidential campaigns and local races, honestly, I'm not going to doubt Trump's efforts. Mm-hmm. I know that he's going to try, mm-hmm. but man, it's going to be really hard for him to really, you know, run up the board.
Yeah, I guess I'm more optimistic. I tend to think that, you know, people are going to come out to vote against Hillary than you know, for Trump, you know, in that regard. So kind of flip it around on you. But I'm curious about this. There's been some Republicans, mostly these neoconservatives, who largely have been in power, again, for the Republican Party for the past 20-some years. And, you know, a lot of these grassroots populists and conservatives have, you know, bit their lip and you know, pulled the lever for McCain, Dole, and Romney. Well, the heart of the issue is, does this movement that Trump has engendered have staying power? I think that's really the core of this, is it not?
I'm not exactly sure. I still have yet to see any semblance of a permanent movement. Mm-hmm. I think that Trump has tapped into the spirit of the day. A lot of people feel that this so-called Obama recovery has left them behind. Mm. We are seeing that there are less people in the workforce actually trying to work, find jobs than any time since Carter. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people are angry, and in a lot of ways, rightfully so, because they feel left behind. And Trump was able to tap into this voter anger so well that I have yet to see if he will turn that into a movement that can take the party, something like what the Reagan Revolution was in 1980.
Sure.
Trump, I feel, from at least from what I've heard, from what I've read online, I don't see him having the infrastructure.
No, sure. That's the one thing he doesn't
have. To turn
this
into a movement.
Right. I think he's trying to fill that in, and there are people like Pat Buchanan, like people at the American Conservative, like folks like Justin Raimondo from antiwar.com, who I think want him to be something more than he is. I think if he becomes president, he has some potential, but obviously, you know, until he gets there. But you know, we're kind of straying off topic. A couple more for you. Trump can't do this, or really can't get these voters in. But would a vice presidential pick have any sort of potential to do that? Where do you see him going with his vice presidential pick? And who do you think maybe, you know, Clinton might pick?
I think that a good presidential pick will definitely have some potential for Trump to show that he is really serious about being the Republican nominee and trying to bring the party together. Mm-hmm. But if we look historically, vice presidential picks don't really end up impacting the final election results.
Sure.
Maybe you'll get a bump at convention because of a good speech. Maybe you'll get a bump after the announcement, but that kind of dies out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he will still be the top of the ticket.
Right.
So I don't think that the pick of a vice presidential candidate will have a big effect in the general, but definitely there is a strong potential for a vice presidential pick that will unite the party behind him. He has a lot of work to do, given that the way that he ran was very aggressive and very divisive. Mm. But I think that he can do it. He can bring the party together.
Mm.
But I don't think that there's awesome vice presidential pick out there that will all of a sudden make everything, you know, go away.
Not even Kasich?
if I'm not mistaken, I think that John Kasich
did he rule it
unequivocally
out?
Stated that That he didn't want it. But I mean, like, we'll see.
I don't blame
him.
I don't blame him.
We'll see. For a long time, Paul Ryan said that he didn't want to be speaker, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, oh my gosh. But some people have said Newt Gingrich, his name is out there. I that kind of was a really interesting pick. But, I mean, what I've heard from Trump is he wants someone in Washington. I mean, he said that from the beginning. He wants someone who knows the ways and ins and outs of Washington. And I think that's obviously the thing he has to do. He can't pick someone else who's like in business. I mean, he needs someone who has legislative experience and has some sort of familiarity with the legislative process, because seeing how he has none, he obviously needs a lot of assistance there. But Edgard, we've been chatting for quite a while. What else has been on your mind? You're obviously writing for the Media Research Council. Tell us a little bit about what you do there and what you've recently been up to.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, the Media Research Council is the media watchdog, I feel, in the conservative movement. You know, our mission statement is to make sure to seek out that to seek out an environment where ideas, liberty, and honesty can flourish. You know. For a long time, I felt that the media has given free pass to a lot of Democrats just because they're the ones that they like. They're the ones that they want to see, you know, in the White House. And I think that we owe it to the American people to always, you know, report the truth, report honestly, fairly, balanced. I'm not seeing a lot of that out there, sadly.
Sure.
What I've been doing in my capacity as a media analyst with the Latino section, I've been looking a lot at Univision and Telemundo and other smaller networks, just to kind of point out the egregious liberal bias that a lot of these networks are putting out. You know, I'm the owner of Univision. Is 100% a Hillary supporter. The daughter of Jorge Ramos.
Yes.
She works for Hillary Clinton.
My goodness.
You know, so like.
You obviously saw the way he ambushed Trump there, right? At the press conference a couple months ago. I mean, he just stands up, starts shouting questions. He wasn't called on. And the media completely labeled it as Trump throwing him out, like having his henchmen throw him out, when he completely earned getting removed because of his actions.
Oh yeah, definitely a lot of and he's always really quick to point out that the last time he got thrown out of a press conference was when he was trying to ask Fidel Castro a question.
Oh my gosh!
So like he makes it look like, oh, you know, Trump is like a dictator.
Yeah.
But I am right there with you on that one. Jorge Ramos. He likes to call himself a journalist, but if anything, I think he's more of an activist
I
now.
Agree. Yep, absolutely.
And I think that his ability to cover things fairly has been seriously compromised.
I agree.
I work with the people that try to point that out, and hopefully we can get some of the bigwigs at these networks to try to correct it. We'll keep on being relentless, and we'll keep doing our thing, man.
All right. Well, keep it up. We really appreciate it. You're doing fantastic work for the American people, and we want to thank you for coming on here and sharing some of your time with us. We know you're really busy. Edgard, thank you again.
Oh, well, thank you, Stephen. It was great to talk to you.
All right. We appreciate it. And folks, stick with us. We'll be right back after this quick break. We'll have up Paul Dykowitz next on Church and State.